You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Wisconsin on Civic Media. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is Tuesday, October 21st, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or listening to us by podcast or on the website, watching us on Facebook or YouTube. Thanks for starting your day right here. I got a question for you. Would it be okay with you if your mail and your email were to be delayed by days or weeks so that every letter and message could be checked by a government agency to make sure that there was nothing in there that might be fraudulent? That makes no sense, right? I mean, if someone commits fraud using mail or email, there are already penalties that don't require something so unwieldy. I will tell you in just a few minutes how that connects to something that Attorney General Josh Call has done when it comes to what a Waukesha County judge wants the Wisconsin Elections Commission to do. That's coming up in just a little bit. And of course, along the way, you can join the show here at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Use that Civic Media app and you can call us that way. You can text us that way. You can leave us a voice note that way as well. Also on the program today, we'll be talking to State Representative Francesca Hong. I interviewed her Sunday as she was passing through the Chippewa Valley as part of her campaign for governor. I'll tell you more of what's coming up along the way, but first we have to say hi to Parker Olson, who is producing this fine little shindig down in Madison Studio A2. Mr. Olson, how are you?
Doing pretty well, Pat. I had a nice little night last night of watching a little bit of Game 7 and then realizing I don't need to care about it anymore because I don't have any rooting interest, and I'm just kind of sad about baseball.
I did mention having friends who are Mariners fans, and they were at that big game five a few nights back, and they are heartbroken this morning. The Mariners were well on their way to their first ever World Series in Game 7 of the American League Championship Series. It all came crashing down in the seventh inning when Toronto's George Springer hit a three-run homer that made the difference in the Blue Jays beating the Mariners 4-3. On Monday night. So Toronto will now go on to play the LA Dodgers starting Friday. And I mean, honestly, it's not just us. It's not just because we lost to the Brewers, but the question everywhere is, you know, who doesn't think the Dodgers are going to win in four, you know, at this point?
Don't talk like that, Pat.
I'm just saying, no, I can't. Would actually, how much better though would you feel if the Dodgers won the World Series in four? It would make things feel better, right? Because you'd be like, yep, that was the team.
Yeah,
I guess if Toronto takes it to like seven games or even fewer and beats them, then it's going to be like, why couldn't we do that? Now suddenly it's back on us, our hitters who couldn't hit, our pitchers who couldn't hit their marks.
You know? But I think I know that we were bad. So
I'm not going to say bad. I'm going to say we were off. We weren't at our best. How's that?
Sure.
I mean, if I keep talking like this, can I be the head coach of the Badger football team? I'm just going to keep making excuses here, whatever it takes.
I mean, if you're as optimistic as you need to be, maybe you can.
I didn't say I was optimistic. I'm just saying I know what to say in this particular situation. Can you tell that I've either worked in politics or sports at some point? Because this is the way that we talk in those businesses. You know, we're going to give it 110% and just leave it all out there on the field. Yeah. So there you go. There's your World Series. So you watched a little bit of Game 7.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Okay. It starts Friday, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, if it's on, I'll dip into it. It's not appointment viewing, but I'm now curious to see if the Dodgers were that much of a juggernaut or if we were just off. And that's just the appetizer for what follows a couple of days later when the Packers take on Aaron Rodgers for the first time. We never actually got to play him. Yeah. when he was on the Jets because of that whole, you know, getting his leg ripped off thing or whatever happened, you know, a few seconds into his time with the Jets. But now he's healthy. He's with the Pittsburgh Steelers. We will be playing that in Sunday night football.
Oh, that's right. It's a Sunday night game.
I
did see someone post. I don't remember if I said this yesterday. I did see someone post after Love took a pretty hard hit on one of his runs yesterday, that the Sunday night football producers just had a heart attack.
Yeah. I know which hit you're talking about. It's like, oh, no, no. And yet, at our local watering hole where we're watching the game, like for one or two runs of Love's prior to that, he slid, as most quarterbacks do, you know, and he slid just short of the first down mark. And you could hear the crowd kind of like, oh, come on, you gotta go for it. And then, of course, the one time he does kind of go for it, and he gets smashed. And everybody immediately regrets their decision to yell at him about sliding. Yeah, you should just go ahead and slide, you know. So Roger in Stevens Point says Toronto will put up more of a fight than the Brewers, but he says Dodgers in five. Okay, so we have that prediction from Roger on that one there.
I was gonna say six.
That's fine. You can say that, you know. I mean, you and Roger, there's no wagering on this.
Well,
I mean, if Roger's right, if it's five, I mean, he gets to produce the show for a day and you go up to Stevens Point and send us notes. That's it.
Fine by me.
All right. Let's see. I mentioned that coming up today, we'll be talking to State Representative Francesca Hong. We also will be talking to Steve Bowe. He's part of a group that is promoting, advocating, and really touting the way that wind and solar and battery capture power is catching on all across rural Wisconsin. I mean, we are talking so much investment that is being made in the state that we'll tell you about at 7:35 this morning. It is Tuesday, of course, so Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media's political editor will be here, and we'll talk a bit about the governor's race, especially after my conversation with Francesca Hong that you'll hear just after the 7 o'clock news. Cam Stevenson will be along, and he'll be live from Washington, D.C., Courier Newsroom's Capitol Hill correspondent, where the only people that seem to be getting any work done these days in Washington, and I don't know if you saw the photo or the video on this, Parker, the only people getting the work done are the demolition crew who are tearing down the east facade of the White House. Hello, metaphor alert.
Yeah, I didn't realize.
The White House is being dismantled so that Trump can put up his gilded ballroom.
I didn't realize that they were actually like destroying stuff. I thought it was just building next door.
You weren't supposed to know. He said he promised it wouldn't. Yes. That's why it was so surprising yesterday to see a wrecking crew take to the facade of the White House. Again, metaphor alert. I mean, there's just a few more Americans where I just want to say, get there faster. You know,
Pat, I try to stay pretty unbiased on this show, but sometimes it's hard not to give views.
Well, when a guy promises you, I'm not going to touch it, and then starts to bring in a demolition crew, and now part of the White House, one side of it is torn apart, you can see where people would go, wait a minute, that's not what he said. To which, again, a lot of us are like, yeah, get there faster. Serial liar. So we've got that going for us, which is fun. We're also going to talk to Dan Hagen from WJFW-TV in Rhinelander, Newswatch 12. We'll talk to James Kelly, civic media reporter here in the Chippewa Valley. And in today's history lesson, we've got Elvis, we've got Meatloaf, we've got Taylor Swift, and we've got Kim Kardashian.
What more could you want?
I know. So if you can't stick around for all of this, from the history lesson on down through all those great guests, well, I mean, you know what to do about that. Follow us as a podcast. Get over to Spotify or Apple. Follow us. And then that way, when you would prefer to listen on demand or listen back to a program, it's going to be right there. Again, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, will be where you can find Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News, on the Civic Media Radio Network. Temperatures around the state right now, it is chilly. It is 36 right now in Rhinelander. It is 36 in Merrill. Let's see, that's a pop-up ad, so I can't tell you where the temperature is there. It's 45 down in the Milwaukee area. It is 43 in Oshkosh and in the Chippewa Valley. So just lots and lots of 30s throughout the northern half of Wisconsin. I would imagine, Parker, you have started with the wearing a jacket to work routine.
I have not, Pat.
Oh, not
no,
yet.
Okay. I spend a grand total of about 25 seconds outside.
Gotcha.
I try to avoid needing to bring more things than necessary.
Oh. Okay, gotcha. Oh, hey, did you know that you can subscribe on YouTube as well? Look this for this from Tony. Tony says, fun fact, if you hit the subscribe button under this show on YouTube, it lights up with rainbow colors. Click it to see.
Oh, I didn't know that. You should try it.
Like right here live on the radio?
I meant the listeners to try it. But you can.
I see.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'd have to head over to the... I'm so used to being on the... Up North News YouTube page, since they, you know, they pay me, that I'll have to head over to the Civic Media page and try that out. Yeah. Or we find out that Tony is just pulling our leg. But Tony hasn't lied to us before.
No, never. Never once.
Why would he start now?
Yeah.
Okay, well, good. Well, let's see. What else did I want to tell you about? Oh, we've got, of course, Badger Sports. Yeah, the football team, they play at Oregon on Saturday, yeah. 6 p.m. You can listen to the pregame starting at 4 p.m. on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, and Ripon. I forget that I mentioned the Packers play Pittsburgh Sunday night. It's a 7:20 game. The pregame starts at 5 p.m. on several Civic Media stations, Richland Center, Park Falls, Racine, and the newest Packers affiliate, WAUH in Wautoma. Again, 5 p.m. Sunday for the pregame on that. But getting back to Badger sports here for a second, the women's volleyball team, they're ninth ranked in the country, 13-3, and they are out west Friday night to take on Washington. That's a 9 p.m. match for the volleyball team Friday night in Washington. But it's already time to start talking about the basketball season and as well as hockey. Yes. I guess I wasn't quite set to go with those things yet, but the NBA starts their season tomorrow. The NHL isn't far behind, right? So
I believe the NHL has already started.
Oh, you're right. It was, I saw there was a game
I think,
on yesterday.
Yeah,
the
I think
Wild
last week.
Playing somebody. So here we are. And I suppose with temperatures in the 30s this morning, it kind of has that turn the page feel to it. So yeah. The Badger men's basketball team is in action this coming Friday. It's an exhibition match. It's at the Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee as part of the Bad Boy Mower Series.
They will take on
Oklahoma at 7 p.m. And you can catch the pregame starting at 6:30 on stations in Wisconsin Rapids, Amory, and Richland Center. And you're saying, well, wait a minute, Pat, tell us more about the Bad Boy Mower Series. I looked. It's like just a collection of sporadic games around the country that apparently Bad Boy Mowers is sponsoring. So they get to call it the Bad Boy Mower Series. It doesn't appear to be a tournament. I don't know if you win a golden lawnmower or what it is, but there will be an exhibition game against Oklahoma Saturday for the Badger men's basketball team. Then next Wednesday, there's an exhibition at the Kohl Center versus UW-Platteville, followed by the season opener Monday, November 3rd at the Kohl Center versus the Campbell University Fighting Camels.
I love the Campbell Camels.
I've never heard of Campbell University till this morning, a private Christian university in Buies Creek, North Carolina, enrollment 5,000.
All-time great mascot.
Yes, the Fighting Camels. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Tomorrow on the program, we will welcome Ellie Bordeaux, who puts together our news our newsletter. You can get it every weekday morning at upnorthnewswi.com, and I'll tell you all about what's in today's issue of the newsletter in just a couple of moments here. But first, I wanted to go over one of the headlines from yesterday, where State Attorney General Josh Call filed an appeal in a court case where a Waukesha County judge has tried to throw a big old wrench into next year's elections. I mean, perhaps plunging next spring's elections into chaos over something not necessary. Unless you're a conservative who believes that scare tactics are the only way that you can win an election. That seems to be the only justification for this. If you want to learn more, Molly Beck from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel has a great story about it that she's put up. And it's all about appealing the order by Waukesha County Circuit Judge Michael Maxwell from earlier this month that says the Wisconsin Elections Commission must review the state's voter rolls to determine whether anyone who is not a U.S. citizen is registered to vote. Call is saying that is not needed. There's been no evidence presented of irreparable harm or failing to notify even one non-citizen who had voted or registered to vote in a Wisconsin election. And yet, Maxwell initially ordered election officials to verify the citizenship of any new registrants as well, but agreed to hold off on that portion of the decision, but is still making the state, if this order were to hold, go back into the voter rolls and check on 3.6 million people in the voter rolls and somehow check their citizenship status. Now, he doesn't exactly say how. The judge says, well, the DOT has records. Well, yeah, but not every undocumented immigrant has a driver's license. So there's really no mechanism to do this. And the Wisconsin Elections Commission has said, we do not have the resources to check the citizenship status of 3.6 million people before the next election, which is the spring primary election next February 18th. The judge, Maxwell, said in his ruling that the Elections Commission is, quote, violating state and federal statutes by maintaining an election system that potentially allows individuals onto the voter rolls who may not be lawfully entitled to cast a vote in Wisconsin. Wow, the word potentially is doing a lot of heavy lifting in there. There is no evidence at all that non-citizens are voting, and certainly not in bigger numbers big enough to swing elections. As we seem to have to note over and over and over again for folks in the back row and the far right of the auditorium, why would someone undocumented try to vote and risk being caught and deported? In what fantasy of yours is that an actual thing? As noted in Molly Beck's story, state law currently requires voters to attest that they are U.S. citizens. It does not require elections officials to obtain proof, and yet that's what the judge is doing, which, like I said, is a big project to take on to retroactively check the citizenship status of 3.6 million voters. Maxwell said this in his decision, quote, if one non-citizen is present on the voter rolls and thus can cast even one unlawful vote, there can be no doubt as to the injury to every other lawful voter in Wisconsin whose lawfully cast vote could be canceled. Were this to happen to a Wisconsin citizen, the damage to the right to cast a lawful ballot would be irreparable, and there is no other remedy available at law to cure it. Drama much? Can we please bring this back to reality? Let's, shall we? In this case, in the example I'm about to give you, the State Elections Commission is the U.S. Post Office, okay? It delivers all the mail that comes in and appears to be properly addressed. Even the mail that it turns out falls under the category of mail fraud. Think of scams against the elderly, the infamous Nigerian prince inheritance, telling veterans about non-existent benefits, pyramid schemes, sham vacation rental offers, and so on. They all get delivered because the post office delivers the mail. If someone is caught doing something illicit through the mail. That's mail fraud. They get charged and punished. Everyone else gets no disruption in their mail delivery. So now imagine if Judge Maxwell were Postmaster General and he were to say this. You know, if one piece of mail defrauds an American, there can be no doubt as to the injury to every other American whose mail might also be fraudulent. Were this to happen, the damage would be irreparable and there is no other remedy to cure it. And so the post office would have to somehow put the brakes on delivering the mail until they can somehow create a process that ensures that nothing that constitutes mail fraud goes out. Or hear me out here. You go after the mail fraud and the voter fraud when there is evidence of a potential crime. Look, I don't know that everyone would agree on whether any particular judge qualifies as a so-called activist judge. But I think if you're answering the question in the blind, most folks would say that creating a solution in search of a problem probably checks that box. And that's what we have in this order by the Waukesha County judge. And it is why Attorney General Josh Call is making that appeal. And tangentially to this conversation, what we said last week, as first mentioned by Dan Schaefer during his visit last Tuesday, Josh Call decided not to run for governor and decided instead to run for a third term as Wisconsin Attorney General. And that can turn out to be a very good thing for the state, because without a strong attorney general who's focused on the law as it relates to the real lives of Wisconsin residents, you risk having an attorney general, as well as a governor, legislators, and everybody else, who insist on trying to bring politics into every aspect of our lives, no matter how much it may inconvenience all the rest of us, so that they can push through or ram through a partisan political agenda. Today's history lesson is on the way with the aforementioned Kim Kardashian meatloaf and bonus and more. Let's start today's history lesson with a birthday, and that would be rock and roll blues guitarist Elvin Bishop, who is 83 years old today. This is not Elvin Bishop singing. I know for the longest time, like since 1976, people have heard Elvin Bishop's Fooled Around and Fell in Love and thought that was Elvin Bishop singing. No, Elvin Bishop is the guitarist and wrote the song, but the song that peaked at number three in 1976 features Mickey Thomas on lead and Donnie Baldwin on the drums that kicked off the song. And then both of them, shortly after this, would go on to join Jefferson Starship. But first played this song for Elvin Bishop, who today turns 83 years old. Only 2 years younger than someone else on the birthday list today, that would be Manfred Mann.
There she was, just walking down the street singing.
Manfred Mann, 85 years old today. He was born Manfred Lubowitz to a Lithuanian Jewish family in South Africa. He went into music. He hit it big with a couple of cover songs. This is actually a cover song, Doo Wah Diddy Diddy. Had been released by a different group a couple of years earlier. And then he released this version, actually the week after I was born, in July of 1964. And then he also had a hit with Blinded by the Light, which was actually written by Bruce Springsteen. He is still touring at age 85.
Oh, God.
Still touring as Manfred Mann's Earth Band. Yes. On this day, and this, by the way, we mentioned Doo Wah Diddy Diddy the other day. We were talking about novelty songs that had charted. Another novelty song charted back on this day in 1972, Chuck Berry. And it was his only number one hit with a novelty song, My Ding-a-Ling. And that's all I can tell you is the name of the song. We ain't playing it, and I'm not saying it anymore, but that was Chuck Berry, number one this week in 1972.
I had a question, and you answered it for me, so thank you, Pat.
Yes, you just have to. It's an entertaining little song that we're not playing on the radio, but you should go. You should go listen. Yes. The anniversary of the birth of legendary jazz trumpeter Dizzy Gillespie. He was born in South Carolina this day in 1917, passed away in 1993. On this day in 1957, the number one song in the country was by Elvis Presley. This was 1957. On this day in 1958, Buddy Holly did what turned out to be his last studio recording session in New York, with tracks that included True Love Ways, It Doesn't Matter Anymore, Moon Dreams, and Raining in My Heart. Let's go up to 1967 now, where the number one song was by Lulu. This would be the number one song for 5 weeks. Title track from the Sidney Poitier movie, To Sir With Love. Got some album notes for you now from 1972. Superfly, the soundtrack by Curtis Mayfield, was the number one album. Let's go up to 1977, where on this day, Meatloaf released his landmark album, Bat Out of Hell. This, as we've talked about a few times, was written by Jim Steinman, produced by Todd Rundgren, one of the most popular albums of the 70s, selling over 14 million copies. It had the title track, it had Paradise by the Dashboard Light, it had Two Out of Three Ain't Bad, again released this day 48 years ago. On this day in 2006, Weird Al Yankovic's White and Nerdy, a parody of Ridin', peaks at number 9 on the Hot 100. It was the first top 10 hit for Weird Al Yankovic. On this day 3 years ago, Taylor Swift released Midnights, her 10th album. So that was her 10th album released 3 years ago today. Does it feel like she's released 10 other albums since then?
I feel like she releases a new song every day.
And is preparing for more. You've got that Life of a Showgirl tour that I'm sure is being worked up as we speak, and probably another album will drop right before that just to complicate things further. I don't know. A lot of records are being sold. And speaking of records, the history of records, on this day in 1908, the first two-sided vinyl record was offered for sale by the Columbia record label, running an ad in the Saturday Evening Post, which is pretty much how everybody got their news back in 1908. And said, wait, you can play this record on both sides?
That,
technology's amazing.
I don't know when I thought records started, but I don't know if I would have thought that they had two-sided records by 1908.
Well, they weren't listening on little cylinders, you know, the way that Thomas Edison wanted them to. So, you know, things are advancing. Let's do some birthdays. Singer Kane Brown is 32 years old today. Now the only way I know that I can get you off my mind, to keep a bottle so close, try to leave it all. Chattanooga, Tennessee's Kane Brown, 32 years old today. Kim Kardashian is 45. Which seems odd, and I'm not reflecting on her appearance. I'm saying it feels like she's been around for 45 years. And so how is it that she's 45 years old now? It just feels like we've dealt with her for so long now.
That's a good point. They give a lot of content out that makes them seem...
So much content.
Yeah.
Doja Cat is 30 years old today. And it was on this day in 2007 that Tennessee Titans kicker Rob Baranis, the late Rob Baranis, former Packer draft choice, set an NFL record for the most points scored in a game without touchdowns. He single-handedly scored 26 points, 8 field goals, and 2 extra points as the Tennessee Titans got a 10-point victory in Houston.
And, oh, God. That's so bad.
What? He could kick 8 field goals?
Well, you know, it's just... It's an awesome thing, right? Like, having a lot of field goals made in a game, that can... That, like, that reflects great on him. It reflects horribly on his team.
Oh, without a doubt, yes. but as the Packers have learned these past couple of weeks, never underestimate the power of having at least an adequate kicker or a good one, one that can set the record. You saw that the Packer kicker who set the record, I don't even know if his name is in front of me. I haven't learned the kicker's name yet.
It's like Haverick, something like that.
Sure, we'll go with that. I just know I saw the article that Mason Crosby congratulated him for breaking his record for the longest ever Packers field goal. But in the picture on Instagram that Mason Crosby posted, he's holding the football where he set the now old record of, I think, 58 yards.
Okay.
He's like, basically says, so what the hell am I supposed to do with this football now? It doesn't mean anything. I no longer have the Packer record. I think he'll keep it. I think he'll still get top dollar for it. Lori and Hayward on the text line. Pat, what a great way to start the day. I recognize that song by the second note. Do-a-diddy-diddy-dum-diddy-do. Thank you for the memories. Lori, that's that. The pleasure's all ours. Thank you for noticing that. Let's see. Before you get to the National Day calendar and some entertainment news, I want to take a moment. Usually we're looking at the text line or the comment sections. Sometimes we actually get in old-fashioned mail. You know, I head down to the Chippewa Falls Post Office, P.O. Box 27, Chippewa 54729.
He's holding a postcard right now.
I'm holding, well, it's a card. It's a, whoa. It's a nice little.
Pat, I'll be honest with
you. People used to send cards all the time.
I didn't think that actually got use. I thought the P.O. Box was just there.
I have so many nice cards and letters and notes. So I've got this card and other times it's just a sticky note. Here's a sticky note that somebody sent in. And I just wanted to share both of these. This one from Margaret says, I love the news you give me daily. I understand government more. And I love how you ask our opinions. You are a breath of fresh air in a very polluted news environment. Sincerely, Margaret. So Margaret, thank you for that. And let's see, this one is, I can't make out the first name here, because again the headlines or the handwriting is it's 6 o'clock in the morning. Thank you for providing this new service. I also find it helpful when you remind me that we can make contributions on a regular basis. I appreciate your email. So this would be about the newsletters, and about four times a year we do a little pledge break at Up North News and invite people to send in their contributions if they care to. And a lot of people do it online, but some people like to send an old-fashioned check and a note. Another one that was in there, I don't have it in front of me here, a Christmas card. They said, apologies, this is all I have. And so they scratched out like Christmas and put in, you know, like something about the fall season or something. I thought it was adorable.
Yes.
It was so nice.
Okay. I was worried it was for Christmas. I went, guys, we can't be doing this already.
No. Okay. So again, I just wanted to thank people for your cards, your notes, your letters, the texts, everything. The only thing I don't have here is a fax machine. And I don't doubt that if somebody wanted to send us a fax, they'd find a way to turn it into an email to get to us. So, all right. Thank you again for that. What's on the National Day calendar for today?
Today is American Frog Day. Pat, how do you feel about frogs?
American Frog Day.
American Frog Day.
Well, they're better than those British frogs. You know, I get American Frog
Day. Right answer.
Okay. That's great. Have you ever had frog legs?
I have not. No. Have you?
There is a supper club up here that for the longest time had frog legs on the menu, but I never knew anybody that ordered them, and I'd never ordered them. And so I still imagine that back in the cooler of this kitchen is a container, a Tupperware, with just a single set of frog legs from 1994 that are just sitting there waiting for somebody to order frog legs. Yeah. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe somebody out there will say, you know what? Underappreciated. They're actually quite good. I don't know why more people don't.
You know, I don't think I've ever heard anything about frog legs. I hear about them a lot, but I never hear an opinion on them.
No, I never have. You hear about it all the time. But as you can tell, we're putting out a very honest appeal to anybody who's had frog legs and can comment good or bad. Good, bad, or indifferent. Get in the comment section or, you know, use the app and send us a note or a voice note. I'd love a voice note going, what was your actual reaction to having frog legs? All right, what else we got today?
We've also got Back to the Future Day. I believe it's like the 40 years.
Is this the date of that was set in the car?
I didn't think of that.
21st, such and such, because it's one of those things you see it on social media all the time, and you don't know if it's true or if somebody's altered the video and they're just messing with you. But that, you know, what was this October 21st, 1955 or whatever? Was that the day that Marty McFly went, you know, back to the future?
Yep. And Back to the Future Part Two, Marty McFly and Doc Brown traveled to from 1985. So, yes.
From 1985. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. So today is Back to the Future Day.
Yes, it is.
Great movie. Really like that. What else we got?
We have also got National Apple Day, Pat. What's your favorite kind of apple?
My favorite apple would be the Honey Crisp.
Oh yeah.
But I will occasionally enjoy a good Granny Smith.
You know? There you go.
So yeah, there's plenty of good ones out there. Yeah. I got one more.
National Pumpkin Cheesecake Day. I was not aware we were making cheesecake.
I was not aware of pumpkin cheesecake. Again, I love cherry cheesecake. You give me a really good cheesecake and you put the cherry pie filling, you know, just the Oh, that's so good. But pumpkin cheesecake, that's a new one on me.
Yeah.
Maybe it pairs well with frog legs. Who knows? I don't know.
I
know. Yeah, exactly. So much ahead here still on a Tuesday morning, October 21st, where we will talk to State Representative Francesca Hong, candidate for governor, just after the news here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
It is a chilly Tuesday morning out there, but just get used to hearing that because we have flipped the page on the script here seasonally. We are well into fall. It is 36 degrees right now in Rhinelander. It is 43 here in the Chippewa Valley and in Amory and in Wausau. It is 43 in Green Bay and Oshkosh as well. Lots of 40s, still a few upper to mid 30s. Hanging around in parts of northern Wisconsin. From the text line, continuing the conversation that I did not think we were going to have on frog legs and other funny foods here. But Lori from Hayward noted that she did have frog legs as well as escargot, living for a while in Paris, but that also she's had frog legs and escargot at a restaurant near Stone Lake, Wisconsin, and one in the Hayward area. She says, frog legs are tasty, but a lot of trouble for the little bit of meat that's on those little bones. Yeah. And the escargot was rubbery, but anything drenched in garlic butter can't be all that bad.
True.
And that is the correct tape, Lori. That is, yes, you can say that about so many things. And so I got to thinking about, all the funny little foods, the ones that may or may not be worth the trouble. Like I said, frog legs I've never had. But one that definitely fits into that category for me is crab. And when we were somewhere around D.C. or Baltimore, and of course, crab is a big deal in those areas. And I know where it was. It was on the Jersey Shore. And again, crab is something that people love to have there. But if you don't know how to, you know, break it open, it is a lot of work.
Yeah.
Holy cow. For just a little bit of meat. And it's also why I've never ordered crab legs either. You know, it's kind of in that frog leg category of, you know, I can get a chicken leg and I can get a lot more meat that way. You know,
that's fair. I've had crab maybe twice and I love it. But
I do love it. I love crab. Yeah. I get crab all the time. I love lobster. I am on a quest for the best lobster mac and cheese. Ooh. I will order lobster mac and cheese almost anywhere where it's on the menu because that is such a good thing.
Regardless of hazard that may be where you're getting the lobster from.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. That's a dangerous game.
You got to keep that in mind. Yes. Escargot, snails, I've never had that. Calamari, squid, I've had that, but again, rubbery, you know, you can deep fry anything and put it in butter, but I'm not getting, like, for food value, that's something I would be lining up to get all the time. Yeah. Let's see, from Dana here, Wolf River apples are awesome, frog legs too.
I've never heard of those apples.
And then there's that whole notion of mussels versus clams versus oysters. I have had mussels, and usually they're the Prince Edward Island ones. Okay. And again, in the right kind of like lemon garlic butter or something like that, so, so good. But clams and oysters, I've tried them. They don't do it for me.
I've never had any of them. I've never been huge on seafood. It really is mainly just like crab and like salmon.
Yeah. Salmon especially. Oh my gosh. I love a good salmon. All right. So there we go. We got you all hungry for lobster mac and cheese for breakfast or something like that. So let's turn to entertainment news and see what Parker has been scouring the purple section for us to see what's out there.
Yes, yes, yes. We have Kenny Loggins is exploring legal actions against Donald Trump because the Donald posted an AI video, I believe on Saturday, maybe on Sunday. I don't remember.
Yeah, Saturday during the No yes. Kings March yes. of Trump wearing a king's crown as a fighter jet pilot.
Yeah.
And flying along a No Kings rally and dumping fecal matter onto fellow Americans.
Yeah.
That's a president who's put a king's crown on himself and animation dumping crappy stuff onto fellow Americans.
Yes, to the tune of Danger Zone.
The tune of Danger Zone, of course, which is what has Kenny Loggins a little bothered, and rightly so. Kenny Loggins is like the, I don't know, 45th different artist to say to Donald Trump, don't play my songs.
Yeah, like, it's usually been at like rallies. I think, as far as I know, this is the first time that a video has gotten flagged from an artist. Yeah. So.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So Kenny is right to be a little upset about that. All right. What else we got? Are you doing the thing? And we're talking about Paris here.
We're talking about Paris.
Lori and Hayward, by the way, Lori living in Paris. Want to hear more about that? Tony is like, wait, are we just passing over the fact that she lived in Paris? Let's hear more about that. Maybe it's because Lori is an international jewel thief based on what happened at the Louvre the other day.
The crown jewels. We have an actual jewel heist, Pat. Thieves stole, they posed as construction workers and got like a cherry picker or a crane and broke in through a window to get to the crown jewels, the French crown jewels. They stole 8 items. They tried to steal Napoleon's, his wife's crown, but they actually ended up dropping it on the way out.
They dropped the crown.
Yeah. So 8 crown jewels instead of 9 crown jewels.
Well, we now know we're looking for somebody named Jack because Jack fell down and broke his crown. And I'm sure one of the other thieves is named Jill for going after this. So my stepmom and my half sister are in Paris right now. They were in the Louvre. They sent a picture like the day before of these crown jewels. Needless to say, we were texting them right away, congratulating them on their successful heist.
Yeah.
And wondering if they were laying low until they come back. And they thought it was funny. They just were glad they could get there because the Louvre's been closed for a couple of days now.
I would think. And you're probably upping your security a little.
They would not have been able to get in. And I've been in there. And I would not want to have to go through those lines and everything. And then when it comes to heists in a museum, I was just thinking of that Pierce Brosnan movie. Is Pierce Brosnan in a bowler hat? You know, is he stealing paintings? And Rene Russo is hot on the trail. Anyway,
I was just thinking reference. Scooby-Doo.
That works too. Candidate for governor, State Representative Francesca Hong. On the other side of the news, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops. But it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.